Today's gospel takes us to a very beautiful and at the time somewhat barren area near Jericho, right by the River Jordan, the day after Jesus was baptized. Now, during his baptism, Jesus arose from the water and the sky above him opened. And there was the incredible presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove above the Son. The Holy Trinity, affirming the divinity of Jesus, in the very same water that parted so that, in Joshua chapter 3, the Ark of the Covenant could cross on dry land the very first time. The same water which Elisha and Elijah separated. This is the water where Elijah's chariot of fire ascended into heaven, which Elisha, with Elijah's mantle, also touched the water across from Jericho and separated, just like the Red Sea. And hear these words from 2 Kings. And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. And now John the Baptist gives further proclamation of Jesus' identity for everyone to hear at that spot in the Jordan. This time the waters weren't parted like before, but instead the heavens were, as the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and God the Father spoke. This was no ordinary place, and this, as we know, was no ordinary man. This was the one who would be sacrificed once for the sins of all. John the Baptist announces Jesus to be the Lamb of God. Now, we're familiar with the term Lamb of God, and we sing it every Sunday. But how many of us are sure just exactly what it means and where it comes from? John the Baptist was famous for a whole lot of things. But I believe that his first job was to point away from himself and point towards Jesus, specifically as God's Lamb. Right here he tells us not only who Jesus is, but he tells us why Jesus must die such a sacrificial death on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Now, to get a better understanding of the importance of this announcement by John the Baptist, we need to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. One of my very, very favorite chapters in the book of Genesis is Genesis chapter 22. Abraham leads his only son, Isaac, up Mount Moriah to the place where he was to sacrifice him. Isaac sees that they have the wood which he's carrying on his back, and the fire for the burnt offering. But he asks his father, "Where's the lamb?" Perfect lambs were used as a sacrifice to Almighty God, knowing that God would somehow let his son survive. Abraham answers Isaac's question. What does he say? He says, "God himself will provide the lamb." Then years later, as the descendants of Abraham's grandson, Jacob, also known as Israel, as these descendants are suffering as slaves in Egypt, with Moses going before the Pharaoh time and time again, asking him to let them go, God once again uses a sacrifice of an innocent lamb to save his people. Moses tells the people to slaughter the Passover lamb. Then take some hyssop, that's a branch, take that, dip it in a bowl of the blood, and put some of the blood on the top and the both sides of the door frame. When God sent the angel of death to the Egyptians, he would see the blood on the doorposts, the tops and the sides of the door frame, and he will pass over that doorway, so he would not kill the firstborn. Israel's children were saved by the blood of the Lamb at the first Passover, and so too are we, the children of Abraham, born or adopted through the blood of an innocent lamb. When that blood was put on the doorpost, Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Jesus is not a door, my friends, or one of many doors to heaven. He is the door. We're all familiar with John 14:6, and it's perfectly clear to me that Jesus wasn't dropping any clues when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He was stating the absolute truth, plain and simple. Sadly, however, there are many who still are not ready to hear this or to believe this. And worse yet, there are some who outwardly reject that in the name of inclusivity and political correctness. May God have mercy on them. Holy Scripture tells us that after Isaac, Moses, and the Exodus from the bondage in Egypt, the prophet Isaiah foretold of God's sacrificial lamb over 600 years before Jesus was born, and how he would stand before men, be judged, and then be killed. From Isaiah 53, verse 7, listen to these words. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." It's right there in the Old Testament, yet there are people that have blinders on and cannot connect the dots. The Apostle Peter reveals the very same thing. The Lamb of God, the one on whom he identified at Caesarea Philippi as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is the same Lamb of God who paid the ultimate price with, and I quote from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." My friends, only God could pay this perfect price so he could provide perfect justice and free us from our sins, the ultimate atonement. God himself. The people of Israel were very familiar with lambs for sacrifices, and it was an important part of their culture and who they were. Those lambs could not take away sin. But the Lamb of God can and does take away sin. This Lamb would shed his blood for the whole world. And the Father made it clear to John the Baptist just who Jesus is by sending the Holy Spirit to light on him like a dove. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Trinity. And I believe how awesomely ironic that at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, at the very hour that he was nailed to the cross, the Passover lambs were being slaughtered and prepared for Seder. This is not a chance occurrence. This is God's perfect timing. God's plan for all mankind and for his lamb. This is so much more than symbolism, my friends. This is God fulfilling his promise and his plan for salvation for the world from the very beginning of time. The hope and freedom that God provided through the very first Passover was fulfilled by the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice, giving us hope and freedom that comes with his gift of eternal life. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe they're God incidences. It's no coincidence that God speaks plainly to us about his Lamb. We can get a much clearer picture of God's plan for creation and the role of his Lamb in the book of Revelation. The Apostle John witnessed a sea of people who were robed in white, and he asked one of the elders present who these people were. And the elder answered, Revelation 7:14-17, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth, is, was, and shall be the Redeemer of all mankind. But there's more. John writes in Revelation 22, "Then the angel showed me the river, the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." They'll be on their minds. This is the promise that comes to all those, to all of us, who seek, know, and love Jesus Christ as Lord. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Is that good news? I believe it is. And the evidence is right before each one of us. This sinful world needs a Savior. And God, in his mercy and love, has provided one. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God. And sadly, many cannot see it, and just as many refuse to. Now, you've got to be wondering, why did the ushers give you that piece of paper? I'm going to tell you the story that goes behind that. In 1977, 40 years ago, Melody Green and her late husband, Keith, knew who the Lamb of God is. His name is Jesus. Melody was writing this song and was having trouble with the final verse. Keith came in and added the last verse, "When I stand in glory." Now, this is very interesting. This happened just 5 years before a tragic plane crash on their ranch in Texas that would take Keith's life and two of their children, who would then do just that, stand in glory. So I would ask you, remain seated. Take that piece of paper. Let me get my guitar. I'll sing the first verse and then we'll repeat it together. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. I hope it sounds familiar to some of you. Let's do that again and everybody join in. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, for sinners slain. Changes a little here. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand
glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
A testimony, an anthem, a message to be shared. It is the truth of the gospel. Some people are more likely to consider accepting Jesus in their life if they hear about him from someone that they already know and trust. It means that the people who have the best opportunity, best chance of introducing Jesus to people are the ones that they already know and trust. It could be a familiar family member, a friend, or a neighbor. And sharing Jesus is best when it happens through already existing relationships. It's through friendships and close relationships that people can truly see, experience, and get to know the love of Christ. Today's gospel gives us a perfect example of that. Here are two men who are following John the Baptist, and they're present that day at the Jordan. And what did they do? They followed Jesus, and then they went and told two of their family members. Our patron saint, Saint Andrew, told his brother Peter. And John, who wrote this gospel, went and told his brother James. Strong relationships, my friend, are formed through sharing love with others. Jesus asks these two disciples, "What do you want?" And today Jesus asks each one of us that very same question. Whether we realize it or not, each one of us is looking for something. Every person on this planet is created by God to need him, to be in relationship with him, to be fulfilled by him. And this is what the entire Gospel of John is all about. Making God known through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you already know Jesus as the Son of God, you're still invited to follow him. To follow him down deeper paths of discipleship, obedience, and faith. I think you have to agree with me, we always can learn more. There's not one of us here today that can claim to know Jesus completely. We never will know Jesus completely until that day when we stand in glory and we'll see his face. There we'll see our King forever in that holy place. I don't think any of us will ever reach a point where we'll say, "Well, that's about as far as I can go with this Christianity stuff." If you know Jesus but want to know him more, the invitation is still for you. So if you're wondering who Jesus really is, or maybe you're not sure, and don't worry about it, friends, if there are moments in your life when you doubt and you question, my answer to that is pray. Pick up the Bible. Read God's holy word. He will gird you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. And he'll teach you. Again, if you're longing to know more about Jesus, and even if you've never made a decision in your life to follow him, I hope and pray that today would be the day that that decision would be made. Jesus invites you to follow him. He invites all of us to follow him, to get to know him. And so I'm going to ask you to please open your Red Pew Bibles to page 1917. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. The Lamb of God makes his invitation. And the only thing we have to do is to accept, opening our hearts to him. It all starts with an initial response to what he says to those first two disciples. Come, and you will see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.